Hey, sorry about that.
I love that.
That's what happened there. Yeah. Somebody turned the transistor on.
Can you put that banjo down, young man?
I know. I thought I'd do a bit of folk. Anyway.
You're very echoey, darling.
Am I? Yeah. Mm.
What's going on?
It's because there's no door on the studio.
Is it because we're twiddling knobs?
Yeah. It's because there's no door, so it echoes behind it. Now, I know you've got a door, but I haven't got a door. Oh, here we go, listener. Yeah, she started already. No. She's only been here 10 minutes.
Welcome, listener.
Yeah.
Can I just say,
go on.
Mr. Andrews, what I meant was that my microphone, there is a lot of echo, which I didn't have last week. Just telling you. Just trying to help you.
Well, don't talk like that, then.
An echo.
Take the bucket off your head.
I think there's a bare wire somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
No. You're fine. You'll be all right. It comes across really well the other end. Trust me on this.
Anyway, we've got a door missing, but welcome, listeners.
Yeah.
You've never seen my other end, anyway.
Anyway. Right, look, enough of that. Let's get cracking. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk.
They said it was going to be messy, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. We're still building the studio, folks. You're listening to channelradio.co.uk with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Rebecca Oliver, and the equally lovely Jill Serkin, and our today's producer, Jamie Andrews. So welcome, everybody. Great to have you here. We'd love to hear from you, the listeners of Kent. So do tweet me at VanillaWeb, or you can send me an email at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hashtag Business Bunker and we'll pick it up.
Absolutely. Hashtag Business Bunker, as Becky says. Or you can ring us on 01303 874998. 01303 874998. Give us a call and we'd love to hear from you. I think we'll kick off. Well, no, I'll tell you what. We'll give you a bit of an update.
I love the way you're so indecisive.
No, this is scripted.
No, it's not.
No, it is. I wrote this.
Did you produce this, Jamie?
Is that one of your 4 a.m. in the morning jobs?
Yeah. It says, and at this point, go,
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and you do it so
what
well.
What we'll do is, channelradio.co.uk, a week old now.
It's very exciting.
So we've been going a week. Yeah, so there's loads of things happening on the station. We're developing loads of new shows. And I've got a couple of people here that are working on that right at this moment as well. Although Jules is actually writing her script for the first show by the looks of it over there. So I'll tell you what, why don't you kick off by telling us, you two ladies, about your new shows?
Do you want us to do it in tandem?
No, I think you should start, Jules.
No, you start after you.
Oh, after me. Well, obviously you know that I'm heavily involved in sports marketing, so I'm going to have my very own sports show. So hopefully we're going to have a roundup on a Monday, and we're going to be doing interviews with local sports professionals and sports clubs and emails coming through on results. We want to, from anyone who are who's involved in sports activities, from juniors right the way through to professionals, we want to hear from you. We want to promote your club, any sponsorship, anything like that. We just want to talk to you. So I'm really excited. Hopefully we'll be, the concept is developing, and hopefully we'll have it up and running in the near future. So I'm very excited about that.
We're really looking forward to it.
Lovely sports professionals coming into the studio, but I've got to learn to twiddle knobs too. Yeah.
But are you doing it, Rebecca, just so you can have little men in shorts coming in?
Yeah, well obviously there will be sports women, it's sports professionals, but I mean I wouldn't say no to a nice rugby player to come along and be interviewed. That wouldn't be a problem at all.
See, there's always an ulterior motive
all the time.
Typical of you two, yeah. Couch casting the pair
so that's
of you.
It's very exciting. So, we just want to promote sport within Kent, obviously inspired by the Olympic legacy and really talking about sport in Kent, promoting it as much as we can, and on a similar concept to Business Bunker, but sports related. So, looking forward to that.
There's a lot of things happening. Just on that, I met some guys the other day that have produced an app called My Soccer Coach, and I have to tell you, it is awesome.
I know, yes.
Yeah, it is absolutely awesome. So if any of you out there coach football at any level, from youth level right up to full professional
level.
Who
are those guys?
Scott Lindsay and Lee and Tony and all those guys.
Yes, I know.
From Soccer Elite.
I actually met them at Starbucks, surprisingly enough.
You would.
As I would. Yes, I did actually approach them, actually, and I went, hi.
You were stalking them, weren't you? go.
I was stalking. I actually approached them, and yes, they did tell me about that app.
Yeah.
And I'd love those guys on if, yeah, obviously.
Well, I've seen the app, and it is absolutely blinding. It's £9.99 for the app. And if you're into coaching football and you haven't got the app, then you're not serious.
Because no, I agree.
Absolutely mega. And they run elite soccer schools as well. Cool.
Excellent. I'm very excited.
Yeah, so loads of good stuff happening, and we're looking forward to Becky's show. And just one final plug. We've got a new show starting on Channel Radio tonight at 9 o'clock, the Mickey T Show, which is absolutely crazy comedy. So do have a listen to that. That's at 9 p.m. until 11 p.m. tonight.
Good old Mickey.
The Mickey T Show. It's cool. And you might hear a little bit of Jaws on there if you listen out as well. Cool. I think what we'll do,
I might have to get in for plagiarism.
Do you reckon?
Or something. Copyright. Something like that. Wait till I see him.
Right, okay.
Who's tweeting, Mr. Barker?
Well, there's loads of tweets and I can't keep up with them all.
Give us a clue.
Well, I'm trying to find them all because there's just so many gone through already. Hold on. Julie Anderson has tweeted me. Oh, I've lost it now.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Julie.
She tweeted me about the business over breakfast meeting.
Thursday morning. Brighton early.
At what used to be the Great Danes.
Yeah, Mercure Hotel.
Is that what it is this week? The Mercure Hotel at Hollingbourne.
We are, it was actually Julie that introduced me to Bob, and I'm chairing it now.
How is he these days? Bob, is he all right?
Bob, it's fine. Yes. It's a great group, and it is a visitor's day, so I would highly recommend anybody to sign up and come along. It's going to be a great, great meeting, I think.
Yeah, cool. So that's Julie Anderson, and Business Over Breakfast, where you can meet Rebecca too.
Lucky them.
So hasn't Julie won an award?
She has.
She is Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow.
As awarded by KITA, which is the Kent Independent Traders Association.
Yeah.
And she won that a couple of weeks ago. We did an interview with her last week on the show, if you remember.
I remember.
Yes, she won that award. And
well deserved as well.
I'm hoping to get her on the show next week to talk a bit more about it. But she won most of the awards that night. That wasn't the only award she won either. They won Customer Service Award as well.
Well, Julie, if you're listening, I'm not here next week, so you can drink my portion of the holiday celebration wine of the bunker anniversary.
Absolutely.
You can have my portion.
Cool.
It'll be a thimbleful.
I think what we'll have, ladies, is an email. So, would one of you like to do an email? Or Jamie's going to do an email.
Yeah.
Jamie's going to do one.
I have Kent Channel Chamber Networking Breakfast. Their topic is pension reform. Thursday the 25th of October at the Grand, Leeds Folkestone. Come along to our networking breakfast on Thursday the 25th of October and learn more about the pensions reform from local expert Gals Independent Financial Advisors. They can help you meet your duties in a way that reduces your administrative burden, minimise the changes you have to make, and provide a better enrolment experience for your employees.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
All that money you spent on his education, it worked, didn't it?
Well, you mean he don't speak like what I do?
He can speak proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not Bermondsey like you.
Shepherd's Bush.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Gooseberry Bush, more like.
Have we quite finished? Have we all quite finished? Thank you for that. I've got a tweet here from Indigo Strawberry.
Ah.
Ooh,
Indigo Strawberry. Next Ladies and Little Missy Pamper Day will be on the 13th of October.
Ooh.
At 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Hurst Community Centre, Bexley, and that's DA53LH.
That is such a cool name. I love that name.
Indigo Strawberry.
That is so cool.
It is really, isn't it?
I'm a little missy, am I? Or a madam, I don't know.
I'm going to do that again. Indigo Strawberry, the next Ladies and Little Missy.
Little Missy.
Pamper Day is the 13th of October from 11 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. at the Hurst Community Centre in Bexley. Get along to that. Blimey, Beaujolais boy.
Oh, the lovely Ian, the lovely Marcus.
The lovely Ian from Liquid Pleasure in Tenterton there. Mm. Wow, a makeover for both Jewels. She needs her roots doing.
Yes, I did.
I shouldn't have read that bit, sorry.
Yeah, I did tell them that, actually. I needed my roots.
No, he said no. She did say, I'm not being rude. She did say
yeah,
that.
No, yeah, yeah. That's fine.
Is that why we haven't got a webcam?
Yeah.
No, no. I've done them. I've done them myself. I actually worked all weekend, Ian. If you're being bitchy, I had to work Saturday and Sunday. Had no time. There's no hairdressers open at 9 o'clock at night, so I had to do them myself on Sunday. Yeah.
The things us Steve has to do. It's terrible.
Because I use something called Herbatint, which is organic, Paul.
Yeah, no, I use exactly the same.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got the hedgehog look today, though, haven't you? You've gone for.
Well, I used exactly the same. Not that I'm saying anything. Not that I want to worry you, Jules.
And Ian met the meerkat. Pilgrim's Hospice meerkat.
Do you know, I nearly got stumped with that damn meerkat. Damn thing.
He's raised he raised 40 quid the other day.
It's evil.
He's lovely.
It's an evil meerkat. Have you seen it? It looks really
it was
weird.
Very ominous over in the corner last time, okay, I have to say.
His tail is a bit grubby. His tail is a bit grubby. But I actually asked Liz Riverford to deliver him back to me, and she can't actually fit him in a delivery van. He's so big. That's how huge he is. Anyway, what's Ian saying apart from my hair?
No, he's just mentioning your
hair. Is that it?
Yeah, that was it.
You wait till I see you, young Ian.
And I've also got a tweet from Sebastian Pennells of TaylorMade Recruitment.
What's he said about my hair?
No, he never mentioned your hair, but he does this to me every week, and this one was really funny, so I'm going to read it out. I normally ignore them. And he said, it's Tuesday, it's Kent Business Radio Business Bunker, and if it was presented by a high school dropout, would that then be the business flunker?
He needs a prize for that.
He does, but he does one every week.
Give him a ginger.
That is the third week running he's
well
thought
done
of one
Sebastian.
Like that.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought that was quite good.
Well done, Seb.
And then kentvenues.co.uk have tweeted, if you're anything to do with business in Kent, then you should be listening to channelradio.co.uk,
you,
the
Paul.
Business Bunker Show.
Yay, thank you.
You do know you're the only person to put a K on the end of anything.
Sorry?
You're the only person to put a K on the end of anything.
A K on the end of anything?
Yeah, because you say anything.
I don't. Anything.
Anything.
No. You listen back.
Okay.
Play back.
Elocution lessons, yes. I believe.
Yes.
You're being told.
Because what will happen
is... It's like working with your mum.
No, but what will happen is, Paul, little children listening will start writing anything and put a K on the end.
Yeah, because we've got hundreds of little nine-year-olds listening
to
us.
Well, shall I tell you one story, very briefly?
Yeah, go on.
Handbag. I used to say handbag. And my son actually wrote...
Handbag?
He actually wrote... H-A-M-B-A-G. He spelt it handbag and thought it was ham.
What's
for keeping ham in.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, you normally have bacon in yours.
Yeah,
don't
I
you?
Do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You
keep
normally
me
have,
going.
You normally have an emergency bacon sandwich
just in case. Seeing how big her back.
Yeah, just in case she goes 10 minutes without food.
In case my roots need doing, I need to have some ham in my bag.
Mm. Anyway, look at the time already. Do you know what we're
going to
do?
My boy.
Yeah, do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to have a bit of tunage.
What have you got?
While I've set up our first guest.
You do know whose birthday it is today, don't you?
No.
John Lennon.
Is it?
Yeah, he was born. He would have been 72 today.
Well, I mean, that's frightening, isn't
have
it?
Have you got any John Lennon?
I haven't actually. I've got a bit of Phil Collins.
Oh, that's really nice of you.
Yeah, well, you didn't tell me that.
On
this
day.
You waited until I was just about to press play, and then you went, actually, we ought to have John Lennon.
And I'll have you know, you've been playing a lot of Phil Collins lately.
I like Phil
You're
Collins,
going
is
to
that
a,
all right?
It's
my show.
Into
if
the,
I like Phil Collins, I'll
it's
like Phil
turning
Collins.
Into the Phil Collins
the
show.
I think that we should get the listeners to decide on what tunage to play.
That's a good idea, but right at the moment,
but now
Phil Collins. Hey, so have a listen to this.
Something in the air. Thank you.
out not in the hand. I've seen your face before, my friend, but I don't know if you know who I am. Well, I was there and I saw what you did. I saw it with my own two eyes. See, so you couldn't wipe out that grin. I know where you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. And I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh Lord. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh Lord.
The Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. Bit of Phil Collins there. Now, hopefully, we have our first guest on the line, Mr. David Phil. Hello, David, are you there? Hello? Hello, David?
He's gone for a lie down after Phil Collins again.
Well, it looks like we've lost him at the moment, so sorry about
Shall
that.
Shall I
we've
read
lost
something out while you find him?
Yeah, please,
you can interrupt me. There's still time to see A Year in the Life, an exhibition in Canterbury at the new Beeney Institute. It runs from the 13th of October to the 11th of November. As you may know, some of the Bunker listeners know, it's a community-based photography project, and it's designed to record a year in the life of Canterbury Faversham Sheppey during the course of 2011 and through 365 photographs, so one for each day of the year. It's taken by residents. In fact, one of them is mine. This unique project, which has been hugely successful in Faversham, in 2000 and 2008 and 2010 will show the different views, styles and feelings that each photographer brings in, creating a diary for today and a record for the future. If you want to know more about this, it's at the Beanie Institute in Canterbury from the 13th of October to the 11th of November. But you've got a website here, which is www.kentcreativearts.co.uk, a year in the life. Details will be on the Bunker website after the show, of course, as usual. But pop along and see that. That's a good one. Shall I carry on? Here's one. This is... a £2 billion entertainment resort, which would aim to rival Disneyland Paris. It could be built in the North Kent. Developers have been granted a license.
Actually, I've seen that on the news last night in Swanscombe.
Oh, really? Well, we're always breaking news here, Rebecca,
breaking
as you know.
Indeed.
They've been granted a license from Paramount Pictures to use its name on a resort on the Swanscombe Peninsula near Dartford. The scheme has been offered support by Dartford and Gravesham Borough Councils. The site's developer, London Resort Holding, Company Holdings, is now looking for further investment for the project. It estimates that the park, which would be based on a former cement works, would create... That sounds scenic, doesn't it? Would create up to 27,000 jobs, which is brilliant. The site's near Ebbsfleet, so it takes 17 minutes from London and 2 hours from Paris. Tony Sefton, the project leader, said the company hoped to open the site in 2018. And Tony said, over the next 12 to 18 months, we'll be progressing the planning application, embarking on a wide-reaching programme of community consultation and securing further commercial agreement with third parties. So that's a real coup for North Kent. So that's it's going to be, well, it's to do with Paramount Pictures, so a big name there.
I think they're actually thinking it's going to be bigger than Disneyland Paris. I think the certainly the amusements and... it looks fantastic.
To rival Dreamland, then.
Yes. No, it looks fantastic. And 27,000 jobs created as well.
Well,
so
that's
fantastic.
Now, does someone you care about have asthma or coughing fits or eczema? Yeah, this is for babies or adults. The Salt Cave in Bexley Heath has provided relief for thousands of sufferers. They simply sit in a comfy chair, listening to relaxing music whilst breathing in tiny salt particles that enter the deepest part of the lung, the alveoli. The clinic is also effective in treating chronic bronchitis, sinusitis, ear infections, psoriasis, rhinitis, hay fever and cystic fibrosis and tonsillitis. Try it for free. The first session is always free, said the owner, but try it for free on Wednesday the 14th of November, that's the open day, 3:30 to 7, and Saturday the 17th of November, 11:30 to 3:30. Details will be on the Bunker website after the show, but it's www.saltcave.co.uk.
Thank you for that, Jules. Hopefully I've got our guest on the phone now, David.
Hi, Paul, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you? Cool. Sorry about that. We've had a bit of trouble with the phone, so we're having to kind of do a bit of a Heath Robinson thing. it's my absolute pleasure to introduce David Philp, who's the Cabinet Office guru, for want of a better word, expert on BIM. Is that right?
I wouldn't say I'm an expert, Paul, but yes, indeed, I'm ahead of BIM for the Cabinet Office.
Cool. Explain to our listeners exactly what BIM is and what your role involves.
I wish that was an easy question. Sometimes it's easier to tell. I mean, building information, obviously another three-letter acronym, it stands for Building Information Modelling. And from our point of view, that's very much as a verb. It's building an information model. When you think about that, we probably build lots of information models in our daily life every day in terms of how we use data. But sometimes I think in terms of BIM, it's easier to say what it isn't. People often see BIM and they see 3D CAD technologies, these nice 3D graphics. And for us, it's much, much more than that. For us, it's actually a way of working. It's about value-creating collaboration. You think the construction industry, we tend to work very much in silos in terms of designers, such as architects, contractors and product manufacturers. It's a way of bringing people together and using the data and the technology to make that happen. It's all underpinned by this collation exchange of 3D models and intelligent structured data.
Right. Hello.
Hello, Paul, but it's fair to say it's not just a technology. It's very much a way of working that's underpinned by all these great stuff we can do now in the and technology.
Okay, sorry, I'm kind of breaking up a bit there, David. So it's the underpinning technology of modelling that. I mean, it's a fascinating subject. I mean, is that something that's been happening for quite a while?
Technologies are back to at least 1960s.
Right.
But what we're seeing now is the technologies are much more available in terms of scalability. It's not just for big practices, but everybody within the supply chain can use it. And in terms of where the construction industry is, we're at the right time for SAM to innovate. We've got to make radical new efficiencies in terms of how we do work and how we work. And BIM's very much about smarter working, trying to be much more efficient, making smarter decisions.
Okay, so I mean, when you talk about smarter decisions, in what kind of areas is that?
Well, it could be smarter decisions in terms of generally the low hanging fruit is in terms of understanding. You can imagine if you're a client, you often look at a 2D drawing, you don't really understand it, you don't really know this asset you're looking at, is it going to perform for you?
Right,
so
yep.
From a client point of view, you can start to make smarter decisions about the functionality, how it's going to operate. You know, is this going to work for me? From a supply chain point of view, you can start to take the waste out of it. You can build an asset twice, you can build it once in the model, take the waste out of it and build it once flawlessly outside. So you make smart decisions, and for a client, you can start to make smart investment decisions as well. You start getting the data, there's going to look about the cost, the carbon, and it's starting to think about an asset, and it's right over its asset life cycle, not just about building it or constructing it, it's about how's it going to perform right through those years in terms of use as well. And that's a big part of what we're doing, not thinking about just design and construct, but starting to think about an asset life cycle.
Right, okay, so I understand. So it's not just about the construction, it's about the usability and the sustainability on the ongoing use of a building.
Completely. You think of your radio station, you know how much it costs to build, let's say, I'm sure it's a massive big radio station, say it was £2 million to build it.
Mm.
The cost of running that and actually using that station over, you know, 20, 30 years is massive. I'm sure it's well into the millions.
Right.
Yet we don't think about the operational side of it. We think more about that design and construct.
Cool. That is a really fascinating subject. Now, my understanding is you're going to be appearing at the Construction Expo 2012 at the Historic Dockyard at Chatham on Thursday, is that correct?
It's subject to the availability and running of trains, I wouldn't
I like that. You've obviously been there before.
So, we're looking forward to this is a whole sector approach. I mean, this is going to affect everybody within the construction supply chain, product manufacturers, designers, contractors. And what government's asking for, you know, it's right across. And whilst people might not be involved directly with government, they'll no doubt be working with somebody in the supply chain that is. And we want to make sure we can get out there, make sure people understand the message, take some of the fear out of it as well, so
sure.
People understand their own the process. And we want to hear their stories as well, which is very much about government working with industry. It's not government saying, thou shalt go and do.
Right.
We're working very closely with stakeholders right through academia, private sectors, to understand what we need to do to make this happen.
Okay. I mean, are you looking to develop standards in this area? Is that how it works? Or
that's a really good question. We're in the process of creating, some have already out there, a series of standards, as you say, to give basic guidance. But what we're trying to do is make sure that innovation, indeed the technical aspects, still stay from the supply chain. Because what government's not doing is not asking for any specific technology platforms. We're not saying you must use a certain software package.
Right.
Yes, the guidance is out there. If anybody wants to have a look before Wednesday, before Thursday, www.bimtaskgroup.org, www.bimtaskgroup.org, has all the protocols and standards. It's all free to download, and it'll give people a good understanding of what's there.
Fantastic. We will put a link to that website on the Business Bunker website so people can follow up and have a look at that. In the meantime, David, thank you so much for joining us. I apologise for the problems we had with the telephone system earlier. I don't know what went wrong with that, but we got there eventually. And
Phil Collins, which is nice.
There's another one.
It's Phil Collins, I think.
David, Phil Collins is a weekly guest on our show.
Have a great time at the Historic Dockyard, and we look forward to hearing you there.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Can I just follow up? Because actually, the Invicta Chamber has obviously mentioned the Construction Expo on the 11th of October. It says new business opportunities are waiting for you. I've been there a couple of times, actually. It's a vast exhibition, actually very interesting to attend. And basically, it's at the historic dockyard, isn't it? And there will be some keynote speakers, David being one of them. And definitely pop along to that. I think it's quite an interesting exhibition to attend, not just from the construction industry, but certainly I found it very interesting when I attended a couple of years ago. So
also, perhaps David could phone up after and let us know what went on and how it went.
Yes,
that would be interesting.
That would be great.
On a real phone.
Yeah. I'm all a dither because my phones are backed up. It's typical, isn't it? We've got two phone guests today and the phone doesn't work again.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
We did pre-warn mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do think
it could be
the spirit of the womble.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I think it's the missing meerkat.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave...
Meerkat!
Damn meerkat sat on the line.
Can I tell you that meerkat, right as we speak, is tucked up in bed, recovering from his weekend with Beaujolais Boy at Liquid Pleasure in Tenterden, because he was sampling. And he's only quite young, that
sampling?
Meerkat.
Sampling?
His little liver was... So he's tucked up in bed at the moment.
Oh, dear, that's terrible.
That sounds
Are
like
you leading him
astray,
Jules?
I might be.
The whole...
Cool. Anyway, you're listening to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, October the 9th, with me, Paul Andrews, Rebecca Oliver, Jules Serkin and Jamie Andrews. So far, so good, kind of, almost.
And Phil Collins.
No biscuits. Despite it being tweeted, none of us actually
you know
brought
why?
Them along.
You had
any biscuits. I had chocolate biscuits. There's no biscuits.
But it's always the guests that sweetly bring them in,
you
that's
do.
Why. Because I tell them to.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Order them. That's a prerequisite to coming on.
Who's tweeting, Paul?
Well, actually, I was just about to look at that.
Well, Kel Surprise.
I'd
like to know. Take your time.
Mark Smith's tweeted from Made in Kent.
Hello, Mark. I've still got your hat. I will return it.
And
Wee Willy Winky hat. I've got his.
You've got his hat.
His Wee Willy Winky hat. I had to borrow it.
Would that be purple by any chance?
No.
You look like the kind of lady that wear a purple hat.
It's actually black. It's got humbug on it.
Bar humbug.
I'm saying nothing.
I needed it for a photo shoot, and as you do. And so I will return it, Mark.
What photo shoot were you doing?
I got the MD
the
of...
Photo
the bar,
shoot.
Yeah.
I got the MD of Lenley's into bed.
Right.
Did you?
Perk of my job.
You got, say that again, you got the MD of Lenley's.
Well, just two gentlemen I had
into
in bed.
Birds.
Yes.
Into bed.
Into bed.
Into bed, yes. The Dennis Brothy, who's the head of beds, and Jonathan Watts, who's the MD of Lenley's. Vispring, Lenley's are the biggest supplier and stockist in Kent of Vispring beds and all beds. And they've got the biggest department. And I can see him out the corner of my eye making faces on it.
I used to have a car.
They won a competition for the Vispring, the best mattresses. And I said it would be
you
really
to
interesting
sample them.
To get them in bed for a little photo shoot. And that's what I did.
Cool. Thank you for that. Brilliant Leaflet Company have tweeted. Hello, Paul. Can you give us a shout out on Channel Radio, please? Thank you. That's the Brilliant Leaflet Company, and you can follow them on Twitty. You can twat them on Twitty.
Totty.
You can follow them on Twitter at Brilliant Leaflet Co. So do give them a follow.
I need some leaflets, so
we should do some shout outs. Anyone that's we should do some Twitter shout outs for any new listeners.
Well, we've got a brand new listener here as well that's just asked a shout out, which is Farningham Butchers.
Okay.
Please plug Kent Butchers, Farningham, Kent. Their Twitter handle is Kent Butchers, at Kent Butchers. So that's the butchers at Farningham.
Wow.
There you go.
They'll be there working on their slabs at the moment.
Do you reckon?
Hanging I was up. Actually watching Nigelisa last night, actually. Is it Nigelisa? The Italian Nigel Lawson, but she's doing...
Nigella
Lawson, not Nigel Lawson. No, and I was watching
Nigella.
That.
She's lost loads of weight, hasn't she?
Yeah, and actually, she was doing a pork loin.
I love
to go to your butchers. This is where the link is to go to your butchers and get them to.
But yeah. I love that about her, because she's actually married to Charles Saatchi, who's Jewish, and yeah. every time she cooks, it's always prawns.
With love.
Or pork, which yeah. is completely
Wouldn't
wrong for
Jewish.
Wouldn't
it be great to have her on your show?
Yes. Sorry. We probably will. I'm sure. She'll sure. probably sit on Paul's lap.
Quite possibly.
My new producer.
You wouldn't mind that, would you, Paul?
I'd live with it.
Yeah. I think, you've been very quiet, Jamie. I think you should.
Well, as a transition from the food sort, I've got to plug the bistro here at Haglund's. Run by Ruth Denzi. And I'm going to give it an extra plug because I've just had a roast beef and horseradish sandwich delivered by Ruth herself. The forthcoming events, 30th of October, they're having a Halloween-themed event. Come and frighten your taste buds with these scary concoctions, £20 a head, with spiced autumn punch, a Bloody Mary soup, an oozy boozy steak, a slow roasted pork with cackling crackling, and that's here at Haglund's Farm in Romney Marsh.
Blimey.
And that's just a starter.
That sounds pretty good. I had lunch there on Sunday, and it was cracking, it really was.
Was that the lunch before your next lunch?
Yeah, I did have two lunches
there. Yeah, because you always do.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a little one and then you have
and
another
little
one.
One
and a big one.
Yeah. No, I had a roast lunch there on Sunday.
Your pre-lunch.
My pre-lunch,
dinner.
Brunchy, breakfasty, roasty lunch. Yeah, no, that's cool.
I apologise for being too close. I'm used to the old microphone.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
But I'm literally sitting on the microphone.
Our technical director has just texted in to say the reason that they're echoey is they're too close to the mics.
Because yeah. in the old days we had to swallow.
Yeah. Jamie was about right. He was about perfect in the distance away.
Because so he's the producer,
kind of
he
that.
Just knows
yeah.
this
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
you see.
Yeah.
He's also son of, yes. so, you know, he gets perks.
Yeah.
who does tweet?
Well, I've got a gazillion tweets now. I've got Tunbridge Farmers Market. Sunday market is Pink Sunday. Customers wearing pink will have 10% off all purchases and it will be donated to breast cancer care.
Oh,
and that's from 9:30 to 1:30 on Sunday at
Brilliant.
The Tunbridge Farmers Market. So if you go along dressed in pink, you get 10% off and all the money goes to cancer charity. Can't say further than that, can you? We've had Eke Media.
Ah, the lovely brand.
A lovely brand saying good afternoon, I'm listening in. I've got a little story about brand in a minute I'm going to tell you about.
It makes me laugh when Jill, every time there's a new tweet, oh, the lovely. He's really lovely.
Brad is
there's
really lovely
and then there's really lovely.
He's one of my, you shouldn't have favourites, should you? But
he's one of Jules's favourites.
He's lovely, lovely.
He's extra special, lovely, lovely.
Not only very handsome, but very intelligent and geeky. I love a geeky man.
Yeah.
One that can sort out my Apple problems, that's
yeah,
what
yeah.
I like.
Get to the core of the problem, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah. Take a bite out of it.
Well, talking of which, we've had Kevin Hadley.
Oh.
General Manager, Dobby's.
Yes, well,
in Gillingham.
He's told me to tell you off.
Yep. And he's on a theme now.
Is he telling you off?
No, he did that earlier. He's food fact for Jules. The first soup was made of hippopotamus.
Really?
The earliest evidence of consumption of soup dates back to 6000 BC and was hippopotamus soup.
Oh, goodness me. I think that sounds quite leathery, don't you?
Yes, I'm...
And he's given us another one because he's on a roll. On a roll. Worcester sauce is not impressed. He's not impressed.
First rule of comedy, Paul.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at your own joke.
No, exactly. Worcester sauce is made from dissolved anchovies.
I think I knew that.
They're soaked in vinegar and completely melted, and they contain the bones and everything
else.
The boat they were caught in by fishermen and a whole skull of anchovies. And that's what makes Worcester sauce.
Oh,
trust me on this. It must be true because Kevin told me.
I love Worcester sauce, but I'm really not mad on anchovies. It's one of the things I don't really like. That and gherkins. And anything
I like
else
gherkins.
I like.
Cool.
You can have my gherkins.
Okay, thank
capers.
You.
Do we like capers? You like capers?
On a pizza.
Yeah, yeah, on a pizza, yeah.
You can have my capers.
Okay.
Is Kevin wearing a gilet?
He probably is. He's probably wearing something much more than a gilet. I think he's wearing some kind
little
of...
Little gumboots.
No, I think he's wearing some kind of brain helmet here because he's...
Has he been sitting up all night thinking of these facts?
Yeah, he's got a staccato series of food-related facts here. He's another one.
I wonder if they've got hippopotamuses at hippopotami.
Quite possibly, yeah.
At Dobies.
Oh, yeah, they probably.
Or Dobies.
But here's another one from Kevin.
Come on, Kev.
Coconut water is the perfect fluid to replenish your body's electrolyte balance after heavy exercise.
I do like a coconut, I have to say. I do like a coconut. But Kevin, why is it so expensive now? Because it's got popular. And now you buy a tin of coconut, it's really expensive. Coconut milk, yeah.
I'll have to get some.
Do you think they sell that at Dobie's?
Coconut milk, probably.
I have been told to go up to the, if they've got a restaurant there.
And then you can use the coconuts for other things, can't you? Like bikini tops.
Yeah, well, actually, I was
bird feeders.
I was going to talk to you. Are you going to have a Christmas party this year? I just need to get that scheduled in.
You not mention the C word?
Quite possibly. Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe we can have a Hawaiian Christmas party.
We're going for traditional.
Cheers.
We're going to start with hippo soup.
Yes.
And then some coconut water for mains.
Yeah.
And then whatever Kevin tweets next, we'll have for dessert.
I always knew Lisa was always quite keen for a Christmas party. She's always keen on any party.
Anyway, talking of such things, we've had Lenleys on Twitter.
Hello, Lenleys.
We're all sitting in the Terrazzo restaurant listening to the Business Bunker. The sun is shining through the roof and it's just like being in Italy.
Oh, hello, Lenleys. They're in Roper Road if anybody wants to pop in and see them in the Terrazzo.
I've only got 9 more tweets from Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah, shall I do them all?
Yeah. Does he say if he's wearing a fetching gilet or is he into cloaks this season?
No, he's on a roll with food-related trivia.
Hippopotami.
He's on... the next one is the flesh of pufferfish.
I thought that's so dangerous.
It's so toxic that Japanese law requires a 3-year course before the chefs are legally allowed to prepare it.
He's really, you need him as a guest.
He will have to come. You'll even have to go and do your show.
Well, anyone can be a guest on my new show called Scoff starting in November. This is a plug. Providing they do bring light snacks and nibbles. Not sure about hippopotamus soup though, Kev.
Yeah, well, we seem to have been hijacked by the food fraternity again, for the 19th week running.
My show is actually called Scoff and Quaff,
yeah,
for those that might want to bring in liquid delights, but Scoff will be the Twitter handle.
And then maybe we can get all this food-related stuff off of my timeline and onto yours, but anyway, we've got Pots of Passion. Which is another new listener.
Oh, hello.
Pots of Passion. Just sneaking by to say I make the most fabulous preserves to sell alongside some fantastic flavoured cheeses, and I'm in Kent.
I actually heard this morning on BBC Breakfast about whether you can reuse your jam jars. You reuse jam jars. Just fill up. Ching, ching. I have actually heard that, and I didn't actually see the outcome of it this morning because I had to dash off. But yes, whether you can use jam jars, I reuse them again. So maybe
you sterilise them, darling.
But apparently, it was on Business Breakfast this morning. It was quite a hot topic.
What, you shouldn't sterilise them?
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure, but it was definitely about jam jars and whether you can
reuse
them.
Rebecca, do you make jam?
No,
you do not look like a type of bird that would make jam, does she, Paul?
I'm not a jam maker.
You don't
mince
about in high heels, a little mini skirt, and then stand there stirring jam.
I don't.
No,
I should learn.
Sweet. Anyway.
I just go and speak to sports professionals.
You just conserve your energy.
I do.
Oh, goodness sake.
You've been taken over today.
Are you
getting pecked on? Jamie's being so good.
Henpecked.
Eke Media.
Oh, the lovely
It just bag. Says blush.
Oh. When's he coming on again?
I think you made a blush. I don't know.
I think he'll have to come on my show.
Is he the lovely?
He is. Well, he is.
The very lovely.
He's one of our first lovelies.
Do you think we should do some more emails?
Little New Zealand chap.
Well, I've got an email just come in as well. And it refers to... It's not from him.
But you know what Brant probably wants? He probably wants us to do our New Zealand accent, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't. I've got an email from the marketing eye, and it says, "Hi Paul, hope you're well. If you get a chance, could you mention that Eke Media, the good friend of the show, Brant McNaughton, has been shortlisted in the best small business category of the Bromley Business Awards?"
Well done.
So well done to Eke Media, Brant and the crew there. They are in the finals of the Bromley Business Awards in the best small business category. And the winners will be announced at the gala dinner on October the 25th at the Warren in Bromley. And Brad says, as a development agency, we spend a great deal of our time helping our clients get the best out of their business. entering this competition has afforded us some time to take a look at our own business. It's been a very valuable exercise, and just to be shortlisted for the Best Small Business Award further confirms that we've accomplished everything that Echo Media stands for and sets out to achieve. So absolutely brilliant. Well done to them.
Well done.
Stop throwing cotton wool buds at me.
Honestly, never have us in the studio together. We're just a nightmare.
She gets worse as she gets older, doesn't she?
I don't know why she threw that at you.
I don't know what to say.
Just in case you want to take any makeup off.
Thank you. How did I get by without that?
Well done, Brant. That's what I'm saying.
Brant. That's fantastic.
And let's get him on to talk about it. Somebody's cranked us up.
No, it's because you did what I said and moved.
No, I'm serious. While you were saying that, the sound has changed for me. Is it changing for you?
No.
It must be just something.
I'll tell you what it is. You took that cotton wool bud out of your ears. That would be what it is.
Should we have some emails?
I think we ought to.
Restore order.
Well, on a slightly different note, Terrazzo, the restaurant in Lenley's.
Red Road, Canterbury with free parking.
I guess it's Terraco.
And the largest bed section in Kent.
You can't.
Is it a bi-spring bed, by any chance? Yeah.
Have you tried it?
There's no point in trying to talk on that show. Jules won't let you. Just don't bother. Just, this is the Jules Serkin show.
I guess it's Terraco opens innovative training centre in Uckfield. Terraco has opened a dedicated training centre for its innovative exterior insulation finishing system, or EIFS, at its headquarters in Uckfield. The specially designed centre includes training bays and classroom facilities with a capacity for up to 10 people at a time. The external wall insulation system has been developed, tried and tested, and is proven to substantially reduce heating or cooling costs. We'd like to show people how efficient EIFS is and are looking to work alongside a community project locally where the building would benefit from being more energy efficient. We'd love to hear from any likely candidates. Please get in touch with Terraco by email info@terraco.co.uk.
How cosmopolitan.
Yes, I have got one here. MPRIT are extremely proud to announce that we have been awarded with the South UK Regional Chamber of Commerce Excellence in Business Award for Commitment to People's Development in 2012.
Cool.
And we are in the national finals later this year. It came as a total surprise to us, and we are grateful to the Chamber for recognising our efforts regarding our staff, customers and community. We're up against some serious competition in the finals from the likes of the Trafford Centre and Jaguar Land Rover, so wow. We'd like to thank all the people who've supported us over the past few years, and we promise not to only continue but further our commitment to people around us. And that's from Frankie Goodman. So well done, MPRIT.
Hello, Frankie.
Frankie, cool. Well done, Frankie. And I've actually got some more updates for Invicta Chamber about the Chamber AGM on Friday the 26th of October. Guest speaker is John Spence, OBE, Chairman of the South East Local Enterprise Partnership, created in 2011 following the closure of CEDA. The SELEP, I guess they call it, SELEP, encompassing East Sussex, Essex, Kent, Medway, Southend and Thurrock, is the nation's gateway to the world and is home to 156,000 businesses and 3,938,000 people. Cool. So if you want to come along, there's a buffet and lunch 12 till 2 p.m. I guess for all chamber members, you would have got, I know I have got an invitation to the AGM. So it's Friday the 26th of October. If you want to come along, then you just reply and confirm your place.
Brilliant. I've got a couple of things to mention here. Smallholders, anybody looking to participate in a Christmas fair, selling food, drink or crafts or anything similar, on the 8th of December, it's £10 a pitch, and that's at Hagland's Farm, Burmarsh, where we are at Channel Radio. So if you want to participate in that, have a look at the website. If you go to channelradio.co.uk, there's a link to Hagland's on the front page there, and you can find details about smallholders for the Christmas fair on the 8th of December.
We can vouch for their banana and coffee cake. Or was it banana and toffee cake, wasn't it? We can vouch for that, can't we, next door?
Oh, the bistro next door. Yeah, yeah. We could do that. And also, there's a Halloween dinner at the bistro at Hagland's, which we're all going to. So do join us at that. And again, there's a link on the homepage of the channel radio website for that.
You can see our very own creature of the night, Paul Andrews.
I've got, thank you. I've got an email here as well from Karen Bidois, and she's just launched a new business in Tunbridge Wells called Studio at One, and there's a launch party.
Ooh,
this Thursday, the 11th of October from 7 p.m. and there's bubbly and canapes available, and there will be demos of spin and bokwa class.
Oh, spin, yeah.
And bokwa dance.
Bokwa though.
Sounds African,
doesn't
it?
Can we have some more information?
B-O-K-W-A, I don't know what it is. Mm. Bokwa dance. If you want to find out about it, there's a website.
I bet you it's a sort of a type of Zumba. Yeah. The next big thing.
Well, if you go into the website, I'm sure you'll find out.
I'm sure I will.
It's www.studioat1. That's S-T-U-D-I-O-A-T-O-N-E, studioat1.co.uk. Or you can email info@studioat1.co.uk for more information. And classes start on Monday the 15th of October. So Jules will be there for a bit of bokwa dance.
I definitely
will. On the 15th. And we'll be there on Thursday for a bit of bubbly and canapé.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I think everyone should get fit ready for the Christmas season. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I'm still having my summer.
I did enjoy
the Canterbury Food and Drink Festival. That was brilliant. And I also enjoyed the Tunbridge. No, what was it? Where was I? Where do you live? Tenterden. Tenterden Folk Fair. That was lovely. This weekend.
That's why you were playing a bit of folk at the beginning, weren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Gaudete.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly. There was a method to my mistake.
Very clever. Yeah.
Tenterden's lovely. I like it. It's very nice.
Yeah, well, you're not allowed back.
You're banned.
I've got an email here from Paul Temple at Kent Venues.
Hi, Paul.
If you're organising or know of a Christmas event in Kent, we'd love to get it listed on our website, and it's free of charge. And to do that, you can email christmas@kentvenues.co.uk. Or you can ring Paul Temple on 07854 704595. Or you can go to their website, which is kentvenues.co.uk.
I can't believe we've mentioned the C word now.
I do believe that we have to start thinking about that word.
It's too soon, Rebecca.
Well, I know, but, you know, Christmas parties, we have
to
get them.
Have you hung your stocking up already?
No, I've made my Christmas list. It's far too long and it's impossible.
Who else is there, Paul?
Kevin's been on the phone.
Oh yeah.
On Twitter.
On the tweet, yeah.
On the tweet. And he said, when does the food show start?
First week of November. It would have started earlier, but I shall be swanning around in Moira in Alicante. Villas are available to rent. www.cvilla.eu.
There's no end to this woman.
Jules. We were talking about Kenny Everett, weren't we? It's like the jewel circuit. She could have those big hands,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. YouTube have just announced 60 new channels. 59 of them are jewels.
I could do a holiday show as well, couldn't I? Cvilla.eu.
Anyway, continuing with the jewel circuit show October the 9th. Her fan club have been back on Twitter. Kevin, when does the food show start? We've done that.
First week of November. Yes, it'll be going out on a Wednesday, Kevin. Was it 6 to 7, Paul? Because you've done the schedule.
Yeah, 6 to 7. While you're cooking your supper.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a Christmas one?
I'm doing Easter, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kevin's decorating his son's bedroom at the moment.
Is he?
And he also says, coconut water, not milk.
Ah, well, you said milk, darling. I said water.
Coconut water is expensive as it's very en vogue at the moment.
That's what I said, yeah. It's sort of Gwyneth Paltrow, isn't it? Yeah.
And we've had a tweet from Donna at Inline Magazine. So it's like, hi guys, I'm listening at last. Listening live.
She's very good. She's sorting me out with MailChimp. She's teaching my Corin how to do MailChimp for me. And she's also planning the Christmas issue of Inline. If you've got any events for Christmas, email me, jules@pressupgroup.com, or Donna at Inline Magazine.
I had Lisa settle on tweets.
Have you thanked Lisa for sorting out your phones?
I haven't yet, no. They've done a fantastic job.
They have.
They've done a fantastic job. They've been sorting out all of our broadband and stuff like that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, that's not the phone. It's not the phone that's gone wrong this time. It's the phone box here, which has nothing to do with them. It's part of the studio desk.
I actually need a phone socket put up in my new office, but I don't call Lisa just for that. Just what? For one socket.
Yeah, what does Lisa have to say?
I'll do it. Lisa said, did someone mention a party?
Yes, Lisa, campaign. Yeah. I knew that she'd be with me on that. Mm-hmm.
She loves a party.
Do you know, I think we'll have one more email, chaps, and then we'll play another bit of tunage.
Here we go. 5 out of 9 firms across southern England that have won Chamber of Commerce awards are based in Kent, underlining that Kent and Medway are good for business. The 5 have won top prizes in the British Chamber of Commerce Awards. Jackson's Fencing at Stouting Common near Ashford was named Business of the Year. Quorum Technologies, based at Eden Business Centre, Ashford, won the Achievement in International Business Accolade, while MPRIT, a computer company in Ashford, won the Commitment to People Development Award. Minimise the 2011 Medway Business of the Year, that has just won the 2011 Medway Business of the Year, that has just won a multi-million pound roof lighting contract with a national retailer, was the most promising new business. Whilst Nova IT Solutions, with offices in Maidstone and Canterbury, was singled out for its excellence in customer service. The 5 businesses go forward to the national competition at London's Guild Hall on November the 29th.
There's actually another one here for Upfield Business Awards. There's quite a long list here, but following an overwhelming number of applications for the inaugural Uckfield Business Awards, the judges have now unveiled a shortlist. The winners will be announced at a gala awards night dinner at East Sussex National Hotel on the 1st of November. But perhaps we can put them up. I mean, there's obviously a long list of shortlists for the business awards, but it would be great to put them up, and again, all Kent-based businesses, so that would be great.
Cool. I think we're going to play a bit of tunage now.
We could. Is it Phil Collins again?
And then after that, we're going to speak to our next guest, who's Mr. Oliver Heath. And you may remember Oliver was the presenter from Changing Rooms.
Yes.
And Home Front.
And very eco.
Yeah, and he's an eco builder and architect and stuff like that. So we shall look forward to talking to Oliver shortly.
We will.
But for the moment, I'm going to play you a bit of Petula Clark.
Ah.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown, just listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown. Don't hang around. Let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go to where they never close. Downtown, just listen to the rhythm of a gentle bossa nova. You'll be dancing with them too before the night is over. Happy again. The light's so much brighter there. You can't forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. So go downtown, where all the lights are bright. Downtown, waiting for you tonight. Downtown, you're gonna be alright now. Downtown, downtown. maybe I'll see you there. We can forget all our troubles, forget all our cares. So go downtown, things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Oh, but a Petula Clark there downtown. Hopefully we're joined on the phone now by our next guest, Mr. Oliver Heath. Oliver.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you? Hi, how are you?
Lovely, I'm good, thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. Sorry about the problems with the phones. We've had a few problems setting things up, but we've got you on the phone now. And Oliver, you're an architect, an eco-sustainability specialist and an all-round property kind of guru, and you're going to be talking at the Kent Expo on Thursday, I understand.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to be talking down there at about 11:30, so it looks like a really interesting show. And I'm going to be talking about the need for sustainable refurbishment of our homes.
Right, okay. And from what kind of aspect? Is that from already built or the new built environment or both?
Yeah, I mean, what we're seeing in the housing market at the moment is that because of regulations are improving, actually new houses are going to become much more energy efficient and have a much lower carbon footprint. But the real problem lies in the existing houses that we're living with at the moment. And one sort of scary statistic is that by 2050, which seems like a long way into the future, 80% of the housing that we'll be living in already exists.
Right.
Wow.
So actually, we're only going to build another 20% of housing, and that housing is going to be, you know, very efficient by its very nature. Now, at the moment, 27% of the UK CO2 emissions come from our homes. So that's the bit that we really need to tackle. It's the existing homes. It's the kind of Georgian, Victorian, Edwardian, and even pre-war homes that are just very, very inefficient. And that's what we really need to be looking at.
Absolutely. Well, you're talking to the right person here, because I've got an Edwardian house, and it leaks like a sieve in every single way possible.
And of course, the bills are just very expensive. I mean, things like gas prices went up by 15% last year.
Absolutely.
And that's just, you know, we can't keep wasting gases and resources and electricity and water in the same way that we have done in the past. We've really got to think in a very modern, contemporary way and make our homes fit for the future.
How do you overcome the listed buildings? Obviously, like you say, regulations are changing, but how do you overcome, obviously, buildings with listed status, and how do you overcome that to make them more sustainable and to ensure that they're eco-friendly?
Well, obviously, I think for a lot of people, when we talk about making homes more sustainable, we think about the big things. You know, it's about solar panels on the roof, it's about external wall insulation, it's about wind turbines or solar water heating systems. And of course, these measures aren't possible with all blocks that many of the existing homes that we're living in. So what we have to do is find other ways to reduce their impact and to make them more efficient. Now, you know, with lots of old homes, there are lots of very simple things. I was talking to a representative of the List Building group called SPAB, S-P-A-B, and what they were saying was actually lots of old buildings are really relatively efficient, and things like shutters are very good for insulating windows, and of course, lots of our old Georgian buildings still have shutters.
Do you mean the kind of wooden shutters, that kind of thing?
Wooden shutters, right. Yeah, but also research is showing that it's actually more efficient to refurbish an existing sash window with brushes and draft deterrents and new locks rather than replace them with double glazing. So it's not an impossible task. There are difficult things, and certainly when it comes to wall insulation with a listed property, it can be very difficult.
But Oliver, isn't it...
On the outside, and because of the listed status, but also on the inside because of architectural features. But it's not always impossible, and there are options.
Oliver... it's Jules here. Isn't it often, though, because I've moved from a Victorian house, which I thought was actually built better, and I've moved to a 20-year-old house, which is appalling, and we're sort of having to replace everything. So isn't it sometimes these sort of houses built 20 years ago that are not so eco-efficient?
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems, really, is that we've been building houses to lower and lower levels of quality over the last 50 years, and it's a, you know, definitely a recognised issue, particularly with things like air tightness. And air tightness is all to do with drafts coming into the home. A draft can come in all sorts of areas, around windows, around doors, under floors, where pipes leave the property, and under through the attic spaces. And if construction levels reduce more and more, then these, you know, relatively newer properties that you would expect to be more efficient simply aren't. So they are, again, proving quite difficult. And one of the issues that we are facing across the UK is just the variety of house types and ages and the different approaches that need to be taken with these different types of property.
It's also about the cost, though, Oliver, as well, isn't it? Because I wanted to put on an eco roof and things like that, and perhaps the instead of double glazing, triple glazing, but all that sort of stuff is very, very expensive.
It is. What the building research establishment has recently said is that where once we were moving home once every 7 years, we're now moving home once every 17 years.
Right.
And I think one of the problems that we face in the UK is a real sense of short-term thinking, when actually, you know, if you're going to be living in your home for 17 years, as these figures show, actually, it's going to be worth investing the money now, as soon as possible, to make savings over a longer period of time. I mean, one very simple example is
Channel Radio.
£1 or £2. But what the research shows is that over the course of its life, the compact fluorescent bulb will save around £75 to £80 per bulb in the house. That's not just because you don't have to change it as much, it's also because it uses a sixth of the energy, you know, just a fraction of the energy. So there's maintenance issues, there's excess heat issues, there's also issues just about, you know, running costs. And as electricity bills and gas bills go up, the more the savings we make now will pay off over a longer period
Absolutely.
Of time.
Yeah.
It's really just about switching your thinking to long-term thinking. And it is a bit painful now, but there are sort of new events coming up, such as the government's Green Deal, which can help us to cover those expenses.
Absolutely.
So they're grants, are they?
Yeah.
Are they grants?
Can you say that again?
Are they grants, the Green Deal?
Well, the Green Deal is basically a finance mechanism that's backed by the government, whereby you can position a loan of up to around £10,000 on your property, so it's not on you. What happens is that your home gets assessed, and a series of measures are suggested to improve the efficiency of your home. And when your home gets improved, obviously your bills have the potential to go down, providing you don't change your behaviour. So from the reduction in your bills, you can actually get to pay off the loan. So what you'll get is a nice warm home without any increase in cost or outlay of money.
Cool. I mean, you're absolutely right. One of the points you made earlier, Oliver, of course, was the increasing cost of energy. So, you know, a lot of the outlay on the sustainability is actually offset by the savings in costs in heating and lighting and all those kind of things.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, I live in an eco-refurbished 1960s house, and I know for myself, it's not just about the money. Mm. You know, your home is not just about a financial outlay. It's also the place that we go back to every day. It's the place where we come from.
Yep.
It's the place where our families live and grow up. And these are really important times in our lives. And it's not just about the financial cost. It's also about the quality of life. And I know for my own home, well, I was fully insulated under the floors, in the walls, and in the attic. But in the middle of the night, even in winter, my house only drops 1.5 degrees at the most in the coldest points in the year.
Really?
So, you know, what we're not seeing is a massive peak and a trough in heating and cooling.
Right.
We're seeing a much, much gentler peak and trough, which means that I'm not spending as much money to reheat my home every morning.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, but that kind of saving in money and CO2 emissions also represents an increased level of comfort. And to me, you know, that's really important that I don't feel cold and kind of ill in my home.
Yeah, absolutely.
And quality of life.
Yeah, and it's consistent, isn't it? You're not messing about heating up, cooling down, heating up, and doing lots of different things all the time.
Yeah. So let's open this discussion up and say it's not just about nobody really understands what those are. It's also about the money, but it is also about quality of life and just being comfortable at home and knowing your home is running smoothly and efficiently. And there is a certain satisfaction to that.
Absolutely.
How can you apply that? Because obviously we're talking about residential, but how can you apply that to business premises? Because obviously, you know, some businesses are business owners of the commercial property that they work and work in. I mean, is that something that you, I guess, same principles apply really to ensure that your business, that your property is sustainable where you work as well? So obviously maximising, you know, energy savings there as well from a business perspective.
Yes, well, I think it makes more obvious and immediate sense to businesses to be saving money than it does to us at home, which is bizarre. But if you were to apply that business thinking to your own home, you would very quickly realise that, you know, it's worth spending the money now to save money later on. Lots of businesses also understand that human comfort is important for productivity. So providing your workers are kept at the right temperature, providing you give them the right chairs, the right support, providing that, you know, don't have cold drafts, they're going to be more comfortable and more productive, and it's also going to be saving you money. So I think as a business case, it makes an awful lot of sense. And, you know, I think also once you take those messages from business, it sort of seems like we'd also be taking them home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Absolutely. Oliver, we could talk about this subject all day. It's a fascinating subject, and you're a fascinating speaker on the subject. You're going to be at the Construction Expo 2012 on Thursday, I understand.
That's right, yeah.
And that's at the historic dockyard at Chatham. So anybody that wants to come and hear more on the whole sustainability of housing can come along and hear you there.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be a really interesting set of talks across the day and workshops, and I'll be talking from 11:45 to 12:30 p.m.
Brilliant. Oliver, thank you so much for joining us on The Business Bunker. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and we look forward to seeing you on Thursday at the Chatham Dockyard.
Has he got a website?
Oh, thank you so much.
Before you go, Oliver, do you have a website where people can find out more about your work?
Yes, if people want to see more about my work, they can go to www.oliverheath.com.
Brilliant. We will do that.
There we go.
Thank you. Thank you, Oliver, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great.
Thanks. Bye.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Fascinating subject, that.
For those that follow me on Twitter, they, you know, I'm a secret historian, and I do spend my life roaming the countryside looking at historic buildings, and it's just quite fascinating because obviously I went to Blenheim Palace at the weekend, and you know how they, it's such a vast palace, and how they, you know, they do apply sustainability, and you can see how they're trying to be eco-friendly and things like that. So I find that quite that area, particularly with respect to listed buildings, fascinating how they, you know, how they keep obviously the heat in and reduce costs as much as they can, because obviously, you know, they're very expensive places to run. So
absolutely.
Yes, so
Well, they were saying that there was going to be cuts in energy, you know, so gas or electric could. We could have sort of blackouts. And
we've got
again.
Real problems. We don't produce any energy in this country.
Yeah,
don't,
so it's
don't
about
even get me started on that.
Dear,
we'll
it's about having a wood burner or a back boiler or whatever, and being able to be self-sufficient if that happens.
Talking about self-sufficiency, organic, and all the rest of it, and my house in Tenterton, I've got a little thing now from the weekend. We've got a little interview here that took place at the Folks Festival in Tenterton on Saturday.
Was it from the meerkat?
It did involve a meerkat somewhere down the line, I think. But have a listen to this little outside broadcast.
And I'm here with the Asaraki sisters for Riverford Organic in Canterbury Food and Drink Festival. Liz Asaraki and Caroline are in charge of the franchise for the whole of East Kent. And how have you been doing at the Canterbury Food and Drink Festival, Liz?
It's been fabulous, actually. We've been so lucky with the weather. Can you remember that heavy rain earlier in the week? And now we've got glorious sunshine. The crowds are out. We've been really busy. Loads of people coming to the stand and talking to us about our produce. And people have shown real interest.
And did you find a day that was the best, Friday, Saturday and Sunday?
Actually, probably Saturday was our best day, although Friday was a good day too. Saturday and Sunday tends to be families out, and so they're out for a good time, whereas Friday were the sort of serious foodies, so that was nice to talk to them too.
And what would you be telling a new listener about why they should try one of your boxes?
Our boxes are all organic, fresh from the farm. We own our own farms and we have cooperatives of farmers that supply our veg. It's all seasonal, so you can't have asparagus in December. You will only get it in asparagus season. But we do pride ourselves on the taste of our produce. Everything has to pass a taste test before it's grown.
I happen to know, as a Riverford eater myself, that certainly the health benefits. I know that our family, through the winter, especially when you've got the root vegetables, we've certainly been away from viruses and colds. And would you agree? Is there anything proven to show that?
Well, there have been lots of studies done by various universities showing various nutritional benefits of organic food, but anecdotal evidence that, you know, I get from my customers every day is that they say exactly the same as you, that they don't suffer from nearly as many colds as their sort of fellows in their streets and everywhere. And personally, my family hardly ever suffers from a cold.
And as a business, Liz, would you recommend this sort of festival for showing your produce for a food supplier?
I think it's very important to get out and meet your customers, and it's ideal for us because people buy from people. And so if you can be there and show people what you do, people can see the freshness and the amount of produce that they were getting, they can meet Caroline and myself, and then they almost become like a friend, and then they feel part of the whole Riverford family. And that's how many of our loyalist customers have actually started with us, is at food festivals like this.
I hope you don't just have loyalists, you also have Republicans. But a little anecdote that you told me before once when we were talking was that you provide, and your drivers provide, a sort of personal service for some people that live on their own and things like that. Can you explain us how that happens?
Well, we have quite a few more elderly customers that shop with us because we deliver to your home and they find that quite convenient. And some of them have difficulty carrying things, so we carry the boxes into their kitchen for them and we even unpack it out of the box for them. Some of our customers buy our yogurt and our cream but sometimes find it hard to snap the lid off, so our drivers will do that for them as well. So that's what we pride ourselves on, is our level of personal service that you just don't get from going to a supermarket.
And I've heard customers asking you this, but it would be interesting for our listener. If there's a certain something they don't like in a box, what are the options?
We let people know what's going to be in their boxes well before their delivery, so they have an option to have a look at the contents of the box that they usually have and stick with that if it suits them, or they can choose a different box that they perhaps fancy more, or if they don't fancy any of the boxes that we've chosen, they can choose a box of their own making that can include any of our produce, fruit, salad, vegetables, dairy products, anything like that.
And we have the well-known floozy box that somebody in Whitstable gets, which is 6 bottles of Riverford Prosecco with a bag of salad. My kind of girl there. Okay, so Liz and Caroline Astoraki from the Canterbury Food and Drink Festival, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Hey, so a bit of outside broadcast there from Jules talking to the Astoraki sisters and their Riverford Organic Day Out at the weekend. We wouldn't know who the floozy is that gets that delivery, would we?
Much. 6 bottles of Prosecco.
I wonder who that might be.
That's my kind of delivery.
That's just breakfast.
With lettuce and Prosecco.
Yeah. Cool. I think we'll do another email now, guys. Who's got an email to read here?
Yeah,
Jamie, got another one?
If you're not doing anything else on the evening of the 17th of October, then I recommend you book yourself onto the Kent Annual Marketing Lecture and learn how Visit Kent has achieved a 60-1 return on investment on their campaign.
Wow.
And at the same time boosted the local economy by more than £18 million. You might even have benefited from some of that. Find out more and book your place here, www.cim.co.uk/events. Unfortunately, they've just given a hyperlink, not the details, but I guess that's the Chartered Institute.
They'd love to do that, just to annoy us.
Yeah, they do. I'll dig out what it is and I'll put it on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website later, so there is a link to that.
But that's the 17th of October, the Kent Annual Marketing Lecture.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jamie. Ladies.
Just the FSB, obviously we've been talking about nominations and things like that, but Federation of Small Businesses are looking to The FSB Streamline UK Business Awards will run across 12 geographical areas around the UK, with finalists selected in April 2013. The awards open today for businesses across the region are being invited to nominate. So it's just, and we'll probably mention that again, but basically anyone that's wishing to nominate Online Business of the Year, Micro Business of the Year, Young Entrepreneur of the Year, then please do go to fsvstreamlineawards.co.uk. And also we'll mention that again and put a link on the Business Bunker website. But yeah, they're looking for nominations now, and you can win. The winner will receive an additional £5,000 and a business consultancy package worth £5,000.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's definitely worth applying.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, about 6 months ago we had a chap called Adrian Corbin came on the show as a guest from Scientifica. Well, I've got an email about that. Scientifica was presented with its prestigious Queen's Award for Enterprise International Trade 2012 at a ceremony held at its headquarters in Uckfield last Friday, the 5th of October. The award was given to Mark Johnson, the Managing Director of Scientifica, by Peter Field, who is the Lord Lieutenant for East Sussex. So absolutely big up to them. That's Scientifica from Uckfield, who won the Queen's Award for Enterprise International Trade 2012.
We've got lots of awards, haven't we?
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
I heard some news on the way in this morning, and I heard that the principal of the K College has resigned. Did you know about that, Paul?
No.
So he apparently is just staying on to the end of his term, but he's resigning, K College in Kent. And also, don't forget, the 2020 Startup Exhibition is on, with lots and lots of sort of help for startups and young entrepreneurs. And that's in October. So check that out on the website.
Cool. And I've just had an email from Oliver.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, saying, I hope you enjoyed our chat and it was all great. And we look forward to seeing all of you on Thursday. So, yes,
excellent.
Thank you, Oliver.
Thank
that
you,
was
Oliver.
Brilliant.
Well, Oliver, I'll be in Moira in Spain. Mm. But I'm going to look at your website because I need help with my house. So I'm going to have a look and see what you can help me with.
Cool. Fantastic. I think we'll go with another email then, Jules.
This is from Paul Barron, who's the director of... He's just said he's the director. It's Kent Gulf.
Saw Paul Barron. He was at the Swell Joss Fair, which went fantastically.
I want you to tell us about that in a moment.
Fantastically.
What is the director of?
He was of the Kent Foundation.
Right.
Yeah. I would love just a moment about that.
So he's asked, what did you think about the interesting comment in the Independent about the achievements of the Regional Growth Fund? And there's a quote here: just over 5,000 jobs have been generated or safeguarded, with some new jobs estimated to have cost the taxpayer £200,000 to create. And that's Nigel Morris from The Independent. The target was 36,000 jobs from an investment of £1.4 billion, which is a whopping £38.5k per job. Whilst we realise that these are hard to reach places such as East Kent, it makes us proud of Kent Foundation's achievements of supporting 100 young entrepreneurs for £200,000, extremely good value. So he is the director of Kent Foundation. That's Paul Barron. And he says, in June this year, Kent Foundation for Young Entrepreneurs celebrated 100 still active businesses supported since May 2008. And that was the launch date of their current services to young people. Local authority support to the tune of £53,000 per year. The sums are clear. Each Kent Foundation success story costs the public purse in the region of £2,000. Kent Foundation is a local Kent-based charity. It raises money through fundraising events, bidding for financial support from larger trusts and foundations. So there's an email there, paul.barron@kent.gov.uk, and it will be on the Bunker website after the show.
If I can follow on from that, Paul was at the Swell Jobs Fair last Wednesday.
Right.
It had 38 exhibitors, 505 real jobs available, and over about 1,200 footfall. We were actually overwhelmed, even, I think, beyond Gordon Henderson, myself, and even the exhibitors' expectations. The job centre was fantastic. Paul was there, obviously supporting potential entrepreneurs and people, so we're definitely going to do it again. And actually, we've got many other districts now coming to us saying, can you give us a hand, you know, because it went so well. So I'm absolutely... I'm so proud of how it went, and it really did a lot for the community, did a lot for engaging job seekers with Shepherd Neame, who won our sponsor, Swell Heating, were one of our sponsors, and it was a really fantastic day, really uplifting, inspiring, at the end of the day, we were all very tired, the constituency of Swell and Sitting Bull and Sheppey, but Paul Barron was there and supporting us, and we're very grateful for his time to have met him as well.
That was an absolutely fantastic achievement. I'm really, really made up that you did it, and I'm really made up that it worked.
We had that conversation a few months ago, and I think everyone entered it with trepidation. We didn't really know. We were sort of going on the back of Watford Jobs Fair and actually the success of that, but it really was. We had a debrief yesterday, and we had such a fantastic time. I was so proud to have been part of it and sort of do all the marketing for it and promotion. And it was a really uplifting day, and just to speak to the job seekers who, you know, it's been a tough time out there, and they were really inspired, and that's exactly what we were trying to achieve on the day. So,
because there are jobs,
but the
message is there are jobs out there.
There are, absolutely.
Do not despair. There are jobs out there. What's happening in the job market is the job market's changing, and how you find jobs is changing.
Yep.
But there are jobs out there. There are jobs to be done. There are well-paid jobs out there. Don't give up. Don't
absolutely
despair.
Not.
There are things happening.
Keep your skills
and it
up.
Is, and that to me, the essence of the day, we had I put a sheet up, and just for people to put feedback on. I mean, obviously you get a mixture, but the majority was so positive and saying, you know, it's given me belief that, you know, giving them encouragement and belief that there are people out there that want, you know, that need employees, and it was just a phenomenal day. It was a real buzz, and we're doing it again. And so we've been approached by many other districts to help them out. So it's quite exciting.
Cool. We've had Kevin on the tweet again.
Hello, Kev.
Yeah, he's saying we have Bokwa to attend our ladies' night on the 15th of November,
Bokwa
5 to 8 p.m.
Is that
a person?
No, dancing.
Dancing. We have
that Bokwa.
It's like
that's
the Zumba.
Karen's studio at one that's doing spin and Bokwa.
Yeah.
But according to Kevin, Bokwa's coming to his place.
I prefer okra, actually.
It's food.
Bishop's Finger.
You know what I'd say, though, also about jobs and this area, it's still the transport, because my new husband went to Birmingham yesterday to speak at the Conservative conference. And he went to Birmingham in the same time it takes him from Whitstable to London.
Yeah.
Is that
crazy?
Because Whitstable to London's quick, or because Birmingham to London's slow?
No, Birmingham to London was London to Birmingham was really quick, and Whitstable's so-called high-speed train link isn't high-speed train link.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get it together, Paul?
I'll do what I can.
Can you get a minibus?
Yeah. I'll piggyback him next time.
Because it's the same.
Gav, don't worry, mate. I'll pick you up, and I'll give you a jog to the station.
But it's the same with Manston, isn't it? Where is the transport to it? Because we want people to get around. Try and go from Whitstable to Bexley or Tunbridge Wells. You can't. It's really difficult. Unless you drive.
I've got a couple more tweets, and we've got very little time left.
Tweet
we've only got a minute. We've got Caroline Love. Please can you remind people to book onto the 4 Networking Canterbury event on Tuesday the 16th of October. That's next Tuesday. And you can go to their website, 4networking.biz, B-I-Z, and find out about that. By the way, next week,
Which
I know you're
Twitter?
On holiday.
Yeah.
No, next Tuesday. It's the second anniversary of the Business Bunker Show.
I know.
We're 2 years old next Tuesday. Show number 95, would you believe? Yeah. So we're going to have a party.
2 years old.
Jules is going to be on the beach, manana in.
She's
going
to ring in.
Eating paella.
I may, if I'm sober, I'll ring in.
And she'll be...
With her new husband.
She'll be cough if he makes it, because it takes even longer to get to Whitstable to Marbella than it does. The high speed train takes forever.
Yes. We're not in Marbella, we're in Moraira.
Oh, whatever.
Alicante.
Whatever.
Whatever. Much nicer.
Alicante. Yeah. Is that the stop after?
And you know
Summer
what?
Street or before?
That Beaujolais boy is sending me an itinerary of where I can go and quaff Spanish wines, good Spanish wines, yeah. And I'm going to be recording for my new show starting in November. Scoff. I'm going to be recording.
We didn't know about
this.
She got a show.
I didn't know this.
I'm recording.
What's wrong with the one she's got already?
My quaffing will be recorded.
Will it really?
Yeah.
Oh.
recommending some good Alicante wines.
I see. Right. Okay. Well, I see what we're kind of almost at the end of the show now.
And you haven't solved the transport issues in Kent.
No, I haven't. Right. Sorry, I'll do that next week. Hey, but listen, thank you for listening to kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Channel Radio. Coming up after us at 3 o'clock, we have Extra Milk with Kevin Cann.
And coconut then, milk.
Yeah, that could work. And please listen in tonight to the Mikey T Show at 9 o'clock. You'll be blown away by it. It's crazy. It's really...
What did we say it was?
A blast.
It's a blast.
It's a blast.
Yeah, it's Kenny Everett on speed.
That's
it really
what
is.
We
it's good. And Jules is on it as well, but then she's on everything. So yeah, she's got 59 YouTube channels. She's throwing cotton buds at me now as well. Anyway, you've been listening to kentbusinessradio.co.uk on Tuesday, the 9th of August. Of October.
The 9th?
9th of October. I'm waffling now.
You're thinking about holidays.
I am now, yeah. With me, Paul Andrews.
Have you got a
Rebecca
spade?
Oliver. And
alpaca
some
poo.
Woman called Jill Serkin and Jamie Andrews. What?
Alpaca poo.
Yeah,
the shovel.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Anyway, enough of that. Join us next week for our second birthday. We'd love to have you join us for that. In the meantime, have a fantastic week and we'll see you soon.